VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here in the studio as usual, live on this D-Day celebration day, and I hope you can stick with us for the whole hour. Whether you're new to the show or not, you will probably manage to learn something if you're paying attention, and maybe you can teach us something by simply hopping on the phone and giving us a call at 904-222-8255, or the easy way, 222-TALK. That was easy, wasn't it?
That is easy.
Reaching us is always as easy as either calling the show or emailing our website, which is VanWeeFinancial.com. You can get things through there. If you're bashful to go on the radio and ask a question because you think it's too stupid, A, you're wrong, because there are no questions that are too stupid. In fact, the easier the questions are, the better your hosts look, and that is part of your job as a listener. That's why we keep the show free, so that you'll help us look good. How's that?
That is a good deal for everyone.
Uh-huh. And, oh gosh, we got so much to get into, but I do want to say a couple words first. 76 years ago, D-Day was one of the bloodiest days in U.S. history, but it's the reason we're sitting here speaking English. And the French people speak French, and believe it or not, there are some areas of France who to this day really appreciate what we did for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's some others that seem to forget a little bit, but we can take a pass on those and concentrate on the good ones. But anyway, for all of the people who lost people, thank you. And who knows? It set the stage for about another 12 months to actually win the peace over Germany with an unconditional surrender. What are your terms? Unconditional surrender. Bang. Now that's America. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right, well, there are few people in the world who were not terribly surprised this week, but the vast majority was. And that's because they apparently didn't listen to the show last week.
Yeah.
We explained last week what was actually going on in the job market, and we did it through our trivia question, if you remember. At that point, we had had 40 million layoffs during the COVID-19 crisis, and yet only about 20.5 million people were receiving ongoing benefits for unemployment. Well, they didn't run out in those 10 weeks or so. What happened was the other 20 million people went back to work.
That is correct, and more went back to work this week as well.
So we had another 1.8 something layoffs, and the number of continuing claims did rise slightly, but not very much.
Yeah.
So what happened again? People are crossing over from employed to unemployed, but more people are crossing over in general from employed or unemployed to employed again. And why not? Every morning you get up and you see on the news what's reopening. Florida went to stage two yesterday. Other states just opened last week. People are opening their businesses again. That means they had to hire people back. And yet, yesterday, the experts, you know, the they that I always talk about, who are they anyway? The experts missed the number of jobs created, not only by the positive negative sign, but by a magnitude of about 11 or 12 million jobs.
It was almost exactly 10, I believe, 10 million.
But from the lowest, man.
Yeah.
They went from 7.5 to 9.
Oh, okay.
Now, I want to know, who the hell's paying these people? You're getting ripped off. All you got to do is tune into the show. We'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest miss I've ever seen.
The biggest one in history, so it's no wonder.
Economic forecasts. Yeah. I mean, even outside of the jobs forecast, the just overall misses. That was pretty terrible. Congratulations to all the bartenders and service industry workers that went back to work yesterday. There was I'll just say my Facebook feed was full of excited customers. So it was a good day for a lot of
people.
You
did your part?
I did not. No, I don't really do that anymore, but I have some other friends who enjoy that. So good for them. So optimism really abounded this week. The stock market shook off all the coronavirus, all the civil unrest. And really look to what's happening outside of the 24-hour news cycle, which if you can do it, I highly recommend you always look at what's happening outside of the 24-hour news cycle because they only tell you one part of the story. The truth is the country wants to get back to normal life, and it's really apparent if you are talking to people. Your average person in the street all across the country wants to get back to their normal life. They don't want to hear the term new normal. And they don't want to hear that they're going to be locked down until there's a cure. What they want is to get back to work, get back to providing for their families, and get back to life as we know it without this huge fear of coronavirus. And I think that we're at that point where that's starting to happen and the market gets it. We mentioned over the last few weeks that there was a lot of good signs that jobs were returning, and basically, we got a big fat confirmation of that yesterday.
Yes, gasoline sales are one of them.
Yep. I mean, there's all sorts of things. I mean, unfortunately, one of them is pollution is returning in cities like L.A. The Google searches for directions, driving directions, that kind of thing. Everything like that, all the indicators that you can find these days are maybe not back to pre-COVID levels, but they are on their way back. And just driving around Jacksonville, it's very apparent during rush hour that we're not quite there. We're not even quite at regular summertime levels, but we are much closer than we were a few weeks ago.
I can tell that on Butler coming in here that we're not quite back. It was actually busier about 2 weeks ago, but, you know, it's not like you're all alone like we were for a while.
Yeah, definitely for a few weeks there, it was just flat out empty.
Yeah.
So the S&P shot up about 5% this week. It now just sits 5.7% off of its all-time high. The Dow saw a massive gain this week of 6.8%. It's now within 7.6% of its all-time high. The story of the week, once again, was the NASDAQ. It did not increase the most. In fact, it was the lowest, but at up just 3.8%. But just. But we saw a new all-time intraday high, and it closed within 0.03% of its all-time high, which talk about banging right up against that and just traded back down below it at the end of the day.
Some people measure them by the intraday number. I do not.
No, I think the closing number.
It closes more.
There's really no rhyme or reason to it. That's just I feel it's more important. Because you see that very often, actually, where it will cross and then come back down, and it'll close just below because there's buyers and sellers right at that point and enough that they're kind of competing against each other. Some want it to go over, some want it to stay below, and you see it pretty often.
Those computers are programmed. If you watched it yesterday on the intraday where that Dow crept up over 27 and it kept dropping back and going forward and dropping back, and then later in the day it just took off because they apparently just the programmers released that part of it and said, okay, now make some money between now and the end of the day.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
It was a really fun day to watch the market. And would you have believed me 2 months ago if I said the NASDAQ will be just below its all-time high in 2 months?
I'm thinking.
No.
It's not an automatic yes.
I wouldn't have believed myself. So,
well, you know, I said not very long ago that Dow 30,000 is coming. I'm not going to tell you what day, and I'm not even going to tell you what year. But if it hit it this year, I wouldn't be the most surprised person.
Nor would I, but we've got a long ways to go.
Depends what happens in the next couple of reports and so on. But anyway, we'll get way into the weeds on the jobs report and so on right after we get back. Got to pay some bills. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. And you can call Ken at 904-636-7888. a bit of mathematics for the public. Now, don't shy away. It's not that tough. What is the median age of Americans? Now, let me explain. The average age would be you take all Americans, add up the number of their ages, and divide by two. The median means there's exactly
by,
as...
By two?
By the people, I mean.
By the number of
yeah,
people.
Yeah, sorry about that. Number of people. I'm getting ahead of myself. The median is, by definition, the number at which there is exactly as many people older as there are people who are younger. So the median age is 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever. And I need a bracket. You got a one-point leeway, basically, on it. And I think you might be surprised. I'm not sure. I know Sarah was. Adam was pretty close. And I was surprised. That's why it's our trivia question.
All right.
All right, carry on. The market, aside from just being fun, it was also nicely broad-based.
It was. And there's more good news about this. You might think that we've gotten a bit ahead of ourselves, and that's a valid argument you could make. But historically, you would be wrong. Because according to our crack research outfit, Bespoke Research.
That's not my wife.
No.
These are the people.
The other one. Yeah, the other one.
The other good department.
In the history of the market, anytime there's been a 20% more or more gain in the market over a 50-day period, the returns over the next 6 months have averaged an additional 10% gain 100% of the time. I'm good with
that. That's almost always.
Almost always, yeah.
And so what would happen if we got that? New all-time high on the NASDAQ, at least.
Well, no, on all three. Right? On all three, yeah. So... that would be, I sincerely hope that happens again.
Yeah, well, just because it's happened every other time does not mean, of course, it'll happen this time.
Of course not, no.
But I'd sure rather have that precedent than the other one.
Of course, yeah, unless statistically we're due for one that doesn't happen. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
It's different this time.
Exactly.
We were laughing with Albert and Angela while we're changing over in here about the new normal. Yeah, and it's different this time. The stupid things that people say and get away with.
Yeah, if kids ever go back to school. Just
even all those Fauci kind of now can't think of a reason to keep them out of school.
No. So, once again, I have something to talk about with that later, too, having to do with Duval County, and it's going to make you laugh.
I'll tell you something. The look on his face says, stay tuned.
So, once again, it wasn't just U.S. stocks that rallied. International stocks did as well. And once again, Brazil led the way higher. That's the third week in a row, I believe. Brazil gained just
under... If they're
not
careful, they could get up to even.
This week, yeah, exactly. This week, Brazil's stock market gained 16%. You thought we had a good week. They had a really good week. But they weren't alone in gaining double digits. Australia, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Italy, Mexico, and Spain all saw gains of over 10%.
Well, that, people are making a big bet in Hong Kong.
No doubt. That one is the most surprising,
I
think.
A 10-foot pole right
the
now.
The European markets, I understand, but absolutely. Hong Kong, I don't know.
Brexit's got till January or till July 1, I mean, or they're going to do a no deal. And Boris is feeling better now, so you can bet that no deal will go through if he can't get his way.
Oh, yeah.
I better get signed at 11:59 June 30th.
So the emerging market index was up almost 8.5%. Commodities were mixed but led higher by oil gains of 11.5%. And bonds continue to struggle as money pours into equities. And what did I say? I think I've said this last week or the week before. The riskiest thing out there right now, long treasuries, dropped 4.5% this week. Yep. Still up over 16% for the year.
Well, that was just the reason you could surmise how risky they were going to be, because that's
ridiculous. Yeah, no, there's no way any bond should move that much in a half a year. No. That's crazy.
Maybe a super risky high yield.
Yeah,
we're talking treasuries.
Yeah, we're talking the safest
printing
thing
press.
Out there. Exactly.
Printing press bonds.
With taxing power behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
The economic data this week, as I mentioned before, showing signs of improvement, and the jobs report flat out proved that. Let's talk a little bit about manufacturing, though, first. The ISM manufacturing report rose from 41.5, which is dismal in April, to 43.1 in May.
That's just bad.
It's just, well, it's still really bad.
Yeah,
But the fact is it was up, and May looks better than April, and I would suspect that you're going to see a big jump in that next month. The sector, anything under 50 is still shrinking, so it's still contracting at
GM
this point.
GM starts up regular production Monday morning, I believe I heard.
Yep, and a bunch of states opened up manufacturing in May. Mm-hmm. But these some of these plants, you can't just turn them on and get going. And
no, that's why some of the supplier plants in the various outlying states have had to crank up earlier. GM had to delay until they could get their chain of supply filled up.
Yeah, because if you're missing one car part, you can't build a car.
We saw a loss of productivity of 0.9% over the last month, and that's certainly no surprise because there were people being retained on payrolls that weren't as busy as they like to be and should be. So, of course, productivity will fall a little. Watch for it to crank up now.
Yep. In the services sector, it was a similar story, still showing contraction, but a much, much slower rate in May than April. And the increase was the largest it has been in 3 years. So that's encouraging. I think that is another area you're really going to see explode next month or in next month's report.
Yeah, that's a personal business where you have to do a lot of face-to-face interacting.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, it was going to be down more than some
of the others. Well, bars and restaurants are in there and things like that. So those things haven't been allowed to be open until recently. Yeah. So the housing market continues to show signs of strength, with mortgage applications continuing to increase and hitting levels not seen since 2009. Pretty crazy. Jobless claims showing a similar trend, one of the highest numbers on records of new one-time jobless filings at 1.88 million, but still better. This is the ninth week of decreases that we've seen in that number. So we have peaked, and it appears that we are headed in the right direction there. And then we can talk a little bit more about the May jobs report, and it was a blowout. And it was surprising only because the ADP report was so bad.
Yeah, that one just didn't add up, did it?
Yeah, there was over 4 million job discrepancy between the ADP and the BLS survey.
Yeah, and if you look at the household survey by BLS, that was 3.8 million. That makes that spread 5-6 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Which is crazy.
I've never seen anything quite so disjointed as
they
that
don't
one.
Always line up, but that is really stands
yeah,
out
they're,
as
they're
a,
usually indicative though.
Somewhat.
Order
yeah.
of magnitude being
yeah.
sort of.
Yep. So it wasn't all rosy in the report though. There's still a tremendous amount of unemployed workers in the leisure and hospitality sector, as I was just talking about. More than one third of all workers are still unemployed. And the unfortunately, the hardest hit demographic of worker in that survey was those with less than a high school education, which is not good news. So we really that just further pushing that we need to get the economy back open and get those people back to work, because that was the people with less than a high school education. They had seen some of the biggest job gains since Trump got elected and were near all time lows on unemployment rate. And then this just killed it. So that is really unfortunate.
There is a little ray of sunshine in that one, though, if you look at it. When they do come back, it looks like they're going to be making 5.1% more than a year ago.
Why do you say that?
That's what wages have done year over year.
Oh, hopefully that holds through all this. I will see what I mean, that's TBD at this point, but it would be a good thing. So
it would be.
Yeah, I mean, lots of good news out there. Still not where we need to be, but we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, we are definitely on the path to some kind of recovery. Trump's pretty optimistic. I thought his speech yesterday was very impassioned and very spot on. And we believe that Americans are ready to do this. In fact, I was saying to my wife last night or the night before, said, you know, this has really created this amazing desire of people to go back to work.
Yeah. It's true. I think
even if you were tired of your job 3 months ago, if you haven't had that job for 3 months, I think it's going to look pretty nice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and people have a lot of people I've talked to really enjoyed working from home if they were fortunate enough to keep their jobs. But at the same time, they will always put that little caveat at the end. But I do miss seeing people in the office and things like that. So I don't think everyone will be disappointed to head back to the office now. You're always going to have a certain subset that will, but I can tell we've been open for a couple of weeks now, and I've enjoyed going back in.
Yeah, there's something about your mindset that changes a bit. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You got something for us?
I'm going to try 38.3.
Oh, she of the fast internet connection says 38.3. You got it, kiddo. I came up 38.2, but 38. Well, you're well within the margin.
There is another area that says 38.2.
Yeah, it's a rounding error in my book.
Yeah.
But weren't you kind of surprised when you learned that it was so young?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
That's why I love having that element of surprise.
I guess.
Well, because your generation is so small.
Well, that's my generation.
And we're living.
But we're a barbell society. We have a huge generation that's older than me and a huge generation that's younger than me, and the boomers and then the millennials. So to me, it just makes sense that the median age would be our tiny generation of Gen X. So.
Yeah. Well, there are some implications that we'll touch on after that. But trust me, we know where you live, so we'll find you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Bye. Yeah, I've got a few other questions for which you will win absolutely nothing, but I'll spew a couple after we get back from the next break, because there's just so much to talk about and it's so much fun. But that one really surprised me. So, all right, we're down to 10 seconds. I got to take a break and pay some bills, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question was one, but I have some others that I'm going to wait just a minute to give, just some fun things for which you will earn a big fat attaboy or attagirl if you get it right. That, and you can listen next week for free.
All right.
Can't beat it. What a package. All right. You had something you wanted to delve into?
Yeah. So Duval County Public Schools.
you sound dejected just saying that.
I mean, so honestly, my kids go to public schools here and they've been great. They have been fantastic. So, and even dealing with this current situation, they were really quick to switch to the online, and they've done way better. Comparing anecdotally with my friends who have kids in different school districts, I think they really did well. But they sent out a survey to parents, teachers, and students just recently. And it asked, the goal of it was to sort of gauge where all the stakeholders were on returning to school in the fall. Good idea. I was very excited to receive the survey, and because I did want to give my input. And so I opened the survey, and I was immediately met with severe disappointment, because whoever designed this survey was not an expert on designing surveys. It's so bad. Basically, if you ever want to design a survey that will tell you absolutely nothing, call Duval County and ask them how they did this one. So they gave you a series of scenarios, and you had to rate from 0 to 10 your comfort level on each of them. Okay, that's fine. The first one was return on August 10th as scheduled, and about a little over half of the stakeholders were okay with that. Going back to school with classmates full-time with personal protective PPE and hand-washing protocols. Only about 40% were okay with that. Returns after Labor Day. Why Labor Day? Because everything will be solved by Labor Day. Arbitrary.
Well, yeah.
Let's just throw a dart at the calendar and pick an arbitrary date.
They want a four-day weekend, though.
And then, so that one was about 40%. And then one of them was use a staggered schedule, attending only on designated days. Talking about, I mean, parents are already inconvenienced enough. Can you imagine if your kid gets Tuesday, Thursday this week, Monday, Wednesday? I mean, then you can't even schedule someone to watch them. Just a terrible idea. About 46% were okay with that. But here's where they really, really botched it. The last thing was, continues online learning until it is safe to return to brick-and-mortar schools. Okay, so it, on the surface, that seems like an okay question, but they don't define what it means to be safe. So 60% of people were okay with that, which that doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't make sense because you, why would you, listen, there is no one who answered the survey who wants kids to go back to school before it's safe. But you have to define what safe is. And that's what the other questions were designed to do. So you just completely shot yourself in the foot by including that as an option on the survey. Of course, parents and teachers and students want to be safe when they return to schools. Why would you even give that as an option?
Are you familiar with the term push-pull?
I am not.
A push poll is a poll that is designed to come up with an answer so that the questions are designed to lead to that answer. So you got the result.
That's what happened here. And
that's exactly what I was feeling in there.
Looking at a News for Jacks article that says, most Duval parents, teachers, want to continue online learning until it's safe to return to schools. See, well, no kidding.
That could have been written before the first question came up.
Oh, it absolutely was. Absolutely. I mean, just what was the point? Like, why did we even go through that? Why did I waste my 5 minutes to fill out this survey?
Shall I relate it to the financial services industry?
Go for it.
All right. What happens when you go see an annuity guy and you lay out your problem?
I have an answer.
It's an annuity.
Yeah.
What was your question again? Doesn't that remind you of the same thing?
Oh, man, just very, very disappointing. After doing so much good work and then to come out with a big flop like this, really, really annoying.
Anyway, when you look at the death rate of school-age kids, you got to go through, it's either three or four zeros to have a significant digit after the decimal point. Kids don't die of this thing.
No, they don't. It really is not a factor. And the only real risk there is, taking it home to grandparents. And they don't even know if that's a real risk.
No.
But the teachers have some risk, no doubt about
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely they do. And that's why maybe the older ones ought to do something differently.
Right. So you definitely have to be concerned about that. But if you're even if you're under 55 and you're relatively healthy with no underlying conditions, you are not at any greater risk than the students are. So
Sarah and I are much more cautious than we would normally be. And if you look at our birth certificates, it'll tell you why.
Right. And we're in justified.
That group. Yeah. Mars. This says Mars, but I assume it's short for Marshall.
Hey, guys. I had an answer for Adam for his question about the survey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what do you think would be the difference in the survey that was generated by someone downtown who has never been in a classroom, or a sampling of your kids' grade-level teachers at that wonderful school they go to?
You might find a difference there.
Yeah, you probably
might find somebody who actually asks real questions.
Yeah, yeah. I was so disappointed. I mean, I want to get a good answer to that question, and I know it's not an easy question, but in order to get a good answer, you have to ask the right questions. And if you ask the wrong questions, you're not going to get the right answer. So now, what they've learned is people want it to be safe when they return to school in the fall, but they haven't defined what that means. So,
and what you should have is, I'm sure you've got some professor that you know, and ask to find a professor that teaches the classes that those education majors have to take on tests and measurement,
mm-hmm.
and see what was the grade by the person who designed that in their class.
Yeah,
and that'll tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly.
No doubt.
My real question, though, was a few weeks ago, I heard somebody on another show altogether talking about how the volatility of the stock market mm-hmm. was good. And the reason was because of the uncertainty, there's a certain number of people who are positive. There's a certain number of people who are negative. And that volatility gives us something from skewing the market totally out of reality.
It's even more than that, though, Marshall. If you don't have volatility, it can't go up.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said, Marshall.
No, you're exactly right.
It just kind of concerns me when we keep going up, up, up.
But we haven't. If you go back, give me a starting date, and I'll tell you how far we've gone down, 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 and then up, up, up.
As we bottomed out since then, it's been a sawtooth.
Yeah, but
it's pretty much
Think about this. How many times have you heard us say, I don't care what condition it's in and what direction it's going, the market will overshoot. It will always overcorrect, overshoot. It was okay. Way too low given the circumstances of what we were
and
doing.
And we said that at the time.
Yes. So it was poised to go up sharply until it's at a level. I find this a pretty good comfort zone at around 27. We're still, we got a ways to go on the top, and there's plenty of room to drop if needed. But look at the stimulus that's in there, too. We've got trillions of dollars floating around this country that weren't there before.
Yeah, and there's a lot of evidence that the PPP loans are actually making a big difference in employment mm-hmm. right now,
yep.
Which is great because that's what they were designed to do. The other thing is I really hate stupid sayings about the stock market,
me
like
too.
Sell in May and go away, but there is one that I generally think is true, and that is that the market climbs a wall of worry. Mm-hmm. And because every time this happens, when there's a ton of uncertainty, especially when retail investors are scared, the market tends to go up. And that's why we're always saying that the bullish sentiment is such a bullish and bearish sentiment are such contrarian indicators for the market.
Yeah. It's absolutely true in finance that if it can't go down, it can't go up.
I do have empathy for all those who have really suffered during this period.
Absolutely, we do as well.
They're not people that I know.
No,
I want to be careful about it. But I'm talking with a small businessman this morning who said his business is up 70% year over year,
wow.
meaning 2020 Whoa. Is 70% greater than 2019.
Does Whoa. He manufacture plexiglass or windows?
No,
or install it?
Try in the hardware business.
Oh, okay.
No kidding.
Okay.
Well, that's good. There's awesome. A lot of pent-up demand. Just give them a paycheck and they'll go out and spend money, right?
Yep.
I love
Thank
it.
Thank you all.
I appreciate it. Have a good weekend. All right, when we get back, I'll throw out a couple of those not worth very much trivia questions. Then I want to talk about age-related investors using financial advisors. That's why I did the age-related question. Because there's a big difference in today's youth and their parents. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have this segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. I had a couple of little trivia questions. In what year did the largest percentage gain happen on the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Largest gain in history. In what year? And then as an aside, at what level did it close that day? You're going to love this one. Absolutely love it. All right, 38.2 or 3, median age of Americans. Half of us are over that, half are under that. Adam has been welcomed over to my side not too many years ago.
But yeah, that is true.
If you look at our... I was going to call a side business. I guess day job's better since this is our side business.
That's right.
Yeah. If the other one paid like this one, we wouldn't have a business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, if you can live off of accolades, right? Anyway, our clientele consists of people of all ages, heavily skewed to the older half of Americans. And that's certainly not unusual. You would expect that. They're closer to retirement. They have accumulated more money. They know more. You start to get worried about your personal safety as you get a little older in life, and that includes financial. So it's not really that surprising. But let's look what's happened. There is a trend out there now, and we have witnessed it. We've been in business in our own little business for a little over 5 years. And we get more younger half people than ever before. And it's not by a little, as I've been thinking back on it. We're getting quite a few of those.
Yeah, I mean,
percentage-wise, it's not big.
But there's a number of things at play there. I think, prior to me joining you in this business, mm-hmm. you didn't target that demographic because
right.
people tend to go see people who are their peers.
Exactly.
And, so that helps, and we've made a somewhat of an effort to do that as well.
Yeah, and we've helped some kids of clients
yep.
who are necessarily younger too. But it is changing, and it's a good thing. And some of these kids I call them kids because I can, some of these young people have stayed with us, and we're watching together as they go from a little start to, oh my gosh, look what I've got.
Yeah.
And some of them are pretty astounding now.
No doubt about it.
So you can look down the line with these kids and say, and this is what we'll tell them face-to-face in the office, when you retire at whatever, throughout 67, because that'll be their full retirement age, when you retire, you're going to have more money than anybody you know. And I say that without hesitation, knowing that there might be an exception or two. But if you just do this, that's it. Another way I like to awaken them, look them in the eye and say, how much money do you think you're going to need to retire? And usually it's the dumb blank stare coming back at you. Others have been trained a little bit and will shoot out a number. And we had one young lady who shot out $4 million. You've been raised well. All right, so here's the bad news if you're in the younger half of this. You're going to have a few million dollars realistic, in that day's dollars at least, if you're going to retire in the style to which you've become accustomed. Why? Well, you're not going to have a pension. Most of you aren't. Plain and simple. And so many people are switching over to 1099 type employment that they're not going to have 401k plans either. That leaves you pretty much up in the air. And one of the things that Congress has done, the absolute worst in personal finance, and this goes back way into the 70s, they have kept these artificially, stupidly low limits on IRA contributions. They limit how much you can put in if you don't make enough money. And if you make too much money, then they eliminate your ability to contribute to a Roth or just the deductibility of the main IRA. Well, you can't do $6,000 for 20 years and expect to have $4 million at the end. It's just not going to happen.
Nope.
So you have to find other ways to do this, and there are other ways, but nobody knows about them. How many people out there have a kid who has been taught in school how to balance a checkbook?
I don't think it exists anymore.
Well, I think some of them would say, a what?
Yeah.
Balance a what? I've got a balance board, but what's a checkbook? So they literally gave up the study of personal finance years and years and years ago. Callers first? Hang on. Good morning, Greg.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How you doing? This is Greg, and I talked to you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, I just want to say, I think what you guys are doing, especially when you talk to the young kids out there, and I can't impress upon people how important it is to plant that seed early, because they start to get a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of, they start getting the feel for financial freedom. And I think if you do it early enough at early enough age, it lasts with them a lifetime. So I just picked up on your comment about some of your younger clients, and I just want to commend you on that. I think it should be done. If there's a way to get into the schools with this, or just keep pressing that pedal, week in and week out, I think it's fabulous. So I just wanted to call in and thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It's not very lucrative for an advisor to take on a young kid who's starting, and we're very discriminatory about it. We have to be impressed enough with that young person that we know he or she is going to be dedicated to becoming a success. Then we'll talk.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great, because it gives them a challenge and something to work towards. So yep. That's great.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your sentiments, and I've heard young people call in to various other shows that I have on at the time and say, nobody will talk to me. And it just breaks my heart, because of course we would talk
to
you.
And it's fun too, because you kind of get to see the rewards of their investing as well. We've had two young people that invested with us who just for the first time ever hit the $100,000 mark.
You get that sixth digit on there. Their day is made.
It is such a great day. I remember my own day that happened, and it's just it's so fun. And then you set the bar higher, and you go for the next one.
From zero to 100,000, is a whole bunch greater than the distance from 100,000 to 200,000, because now half of it is money you've already earned and put away, and the other half is what you contribute. And that percentage-wise just gets better every year.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's probably pays for at least 1 year of grad school at Yale.
The sad truth, my friend. The very sad truth.
Okay. Take care. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Yeah, he's exactly right, and I was going to mention just what Adam did. I can see the look in their eyes when they first open it up, and it's got six digits on it.
It's great.
They are hooked at that point. And you know the next stop is the seventh digit.
Exactly. Plus the, when you're looking at a 10% gain on $1,000, it's not a lot of money. But when you're looking at a 10% gain on $100,000, that's a good amount of money.
That's right. Now, in today's business climate, some graduating classes are very lucky and some are not. When Adam graduated from a business school, got his MBA, it was not a very good year for jobs.
It was so unfortunate.
Was I subtle enough?
Yeah. It was, when I went in, was the best year ever. And then when I got out, was maybe not the worst year ever, but it was not a good year.
No. Well, the graduates of, well, even high schools, but colleges especially, a year ago, they waltzed into a job market that was just unstoppable.
Oh, you could have named your company to work for, basically.
Signing bonuses and the whole nine yards. And this year, just by a few weeks,
it's going to be tough.
Yeah. So what's going to happen to a lot of these kids is they're going to wind up either looking for work that where, let's say somebody's making too much money on unemployment and they don't want to take their job back. I say take their job from them. You want to find somebody who's too lazy to go back because they're making a couple extra $100 a week, take it from them. But a lot of them are going to start doing what a lot of young kids are prone to anyway, and that is they're going to start looking for gigs on their own. With self-employment comes a lot of cool stuff like flexibility. There are certain tax provisions that are nice and that sort of thing. But what isn't there is any credit for your retirement aside from the Social Security you pay in. Social Security is only designed to pay for 39 to 40% of your income prior to getting on it. So 60% at least is your own responsibility. And I'm going to talk more about that and the ways we can help young people. If you know some young people that you think need some help, don't hesitate to call us. We're always available. All right, we are going to take off this hour. Flew right by. Another beautiful weekend out there, and we will see you next week at the same time. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.